Hello, everyone, and welcome into FCC Talk. I'm your host, John Rhodes, and with me today, I have CJ Mustin, the student minister here at First Christian Church. CJ, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you, John?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. It's been a weird week a little bit. Been kind of like rushing around doing things. Hannah's mom isn't able to watch the kids again today, so Hannah's home with them, and I'll be home with them tomorrow. So, you know, one of those kind of weird weeks where that happens, but you know, that's having kids and having a family, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, well, we're happy to be here today. We have a number of things to talk about on the list. We have a sermon illustration by Perry Noble that is interesting that I'm sure we'll get into and talk about and inform you on that. If anybody here watches American Idol, there was a contestant previously that we felt like was notable enough to discuss and talk about. And then there's something going on at Liberty University we're going to talk about. So some good, some bad, but in it all, we'll give our reactions and kind of discuss it all. In the meantime, there will be no politics. There will be nothing like that. It's a lot of just ministry insights, personal life stuff from us here on staff at First Christian Church. And then by no means is this a sermon. We do discuss relevant topics of things going on in the Christian world. But at the end of the day, we might use some Bible here and there. But you know, it's one of those things where we just kind of react, give our thoughts, give our opinions. And if you disagree, more power to you. If you agree, great. Let us know. We'd love to hear what your thoughts as well. So CJ, you ready to get into it?
I'm ready.
All right. So our very first topic that we're going to talk about is Perry Noble. So if you are not familiar with that name, Perry Noble was a megachurch preacher at New Spring Church. I think it's in one of the Carolinas. But he had some issues with alcoholism and some issues in his marriage. And so he actually, I think back in 2017, stepped away from ministry. And he has since been back in ministry. He has started a new church. So I don't know all the details there. I've not followed Perry Noble super close. However, in this sermon, he was talking a lot about that. It's in South Carolina. There we go. He was talking a lot about his experiences with what he dealt with, what he went through, and how a lot of the things that he went through, he kind of went through alone. And to be honest, CJ, like, the message is solid from what I was reading. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to listen to the entire sermon. However, you know, I didn't think it was a bad message, and I thought that
absolutely,
you know, it was something that, you know, needs to be discussed today, how we need each other and how important the church is and things. And then Perry all of a sudden went over to a bench press, which if you know what a, you know, if you've ever been in a workout room, you know what a bench press is, but essentially it's the part where you lay down and the bar is above you and you're you know, pressing the bar up while you're laying on a bench, you know, i.e. the word bench press. But he started with two plates, so one on each side, which was 135 pounds, which is not uncommon for, you know, a grown man to be able to lift. And he lifts that, and then all of a sudden he starts putting more weight on and more weight on and talking about how, you know, the more weight that we try to handle, we are unable to handle. And then he lays down on the bench and gets ready to look like he's gonna lift the weight off the bench, and then he says, "No way!" And he gets up from there. But it's kind of a weird illustration. Obviously, there's some comedic value to it there. But CJ, I'm curious your thoughts. What was just your reaction or your first impression of Perry Noble's sermon illustration with the bench press and lifting it? What were your thoughts?
I loved it. I thought it was really creative and memorable way to express our need to have people around us to just build us up and keep us in Christ, and that's an important part of life. So I really liked it. How about you,
yeah,
John?
I like the message. Like I said, you know, and I'm not one of those people that I, you know, get on sermon illustrations. You know, we've talked about like the Bible kick and stuff like that. Nah, I'm not really a fan of those. But you know, this one, it's kind of like, I mean, it got my attention. I read about it, mm-hmm. and I watched it, and you know, as much as, you know, I kind of already knew the message, I still read about the message and figured out what Perry said. So, I mean, at the end of the day, think about what is a sermon illustration for. You know, it's to illustrate the point that you're trying to make. And when mm-hmm. Perry Noble was getting on the the bench and saying, there's no way I can lift that on my own. I need some help. And he brings people up on stage who then help him lift it. It's like, well, yeah, that kind of illustrates the point, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I was looking through the comments on it, which, you know, that's never a wise decision to do. But, you know, I saw a lot of people saying, you know, oh, this is showmanship. This is, you know, somebody who's just trying to brag about how strong they are. I question how many people actually read the article, since he didn't, you know, actually saw the clip, because, you know, he didn't actually lift all 400 pounds
right
on his own, right, however much it was. But I mean, CJ, sermon illustrations are just like a great way to make a point even deeper.
Absolutely.
In your sermon. And I know you do this a lot at Worship Uncoiled, and you've done this on mm-hmm. Sunday morning. I still remember the screen that you brought in for sermon that one time. So, I mean, it's memorable. It's good to have. But I mean, when you are thinking of sermon illustrations and things like that, do you ever think of like how to balance, like, I want this to be memorable, but I don't want this to be like something that takes over the entire show, or, you know, not, you know, it's a sermon, it's not a show, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I don't want this uh-huh. to seem like a show of some kind of illustration or some kind of showmanship or anything like that. Like, does that ever cross your mind when you're doing this stuff? What are your thoughts there, CJ?
My thoughts when I think about sermon illustrations is simply, is it bringing everything back to my main point? Is this going to be something that is memorable? And I think in church culture today, we have kind of swung the pendulum really far to head knowledge and making sure that we are, a lot of it has become very, educational. I think we don't use sermon illustrations enough. I know even at Worship Uncoiled in my ministry, like, that's something that I work really, really hard at and I struggle with, because I want to do more of that. You know, when you look at how Jesus taught in the New Testament, that was what he did. He's like, let's talk about sheep. You know, sheep. I'm going to, you know, and they were probably standing next to some sheep. Let's talk about seeds. And he probably picked up a seed and he held the seed and the seed of the mustard tree. Right. You know, he's probably standing next to a mustard seed or mustard tree. I think that's what Jesus did. And I think that we have kind of lost that art. So I think that I'm not sure that you can necessarily, I mean, unless you're just bringing all the attention to yourself, I'm not sure you can necessarily go too showy with sermon illustrations. I mean, if it can be memorable and bring it back to your point, man, I'm all for it. So what are your thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I think about this one in particular and, like, you know, why were people thinking like, oh, this is showmanship? Because I read this and I'm like, it's not showmanship at all. Like, sure, he lifted,
right,
you know, a bar and some plates, which is, like I said, that's pretty common for most.
That's pretty common, yeah.
You know, yeah, like a teenager and stuff, like, you know, you might work toward that more, but a grown man, that's not uncommon. So to me, that's not really showmanship. You know, it's like, okay,
right,
great. You've done what 90% of the men in this audience can,
right,
do.
Right.
So good for you. But I look at it and I'm like, well, okay, the title is a little bit misleading. You know, I'm not saying the article is bad by any means. I enjoyed the article. I thought it was good. But
right,
Perry Noble
absolutely
bench presses 400 pounds that illustrates God's power plus God's people in fight against worry. I could see how maybe somebody is like, oh, so this guy just got up on stage and bench pressed 400 pounds to say God is powerful. Like, who's this guy? You know, like, I could kind of see that there. And yeah, if I,
right,
you know, am listening to a sermon and the guy is like, God is so powerful, he made me, watch me bench press all this weight.
Right. Right.
Okay, I could see how that might be showmanship, you know, like,
right. And again, that's the thing, like, is it pointing to you or is it pointing to your point? And I think that's kind of where I have that balance, is it's got to always come back to my point. And, you know, if for me, an illustration, if I'm telling a story from my own life, I like to tell stories about myself that make me more human. And so I tell more the negative side of my, where I failed, where I've messed up, And I try not to share, like, look at me, look how awesome I am. I think that's where you're talking about it becomes showmanship. It's always got to come back to the point you're trying to make, to help people. So.
Exactly. That was the other point I was going to bring up was, another piece of preaching is storytelling and how powerful that is. And, when we share stories from our own lives, that can make it even more impactful. But I try to always make sure when I'm sharing stories, like it's not like a, hey, I did this and you all need to do just as I did type of thing. I
Absolutely.
mean,
Absolutely.
are there points in my life where I feel like, yes, I made the right decision? Yeah, I'm not gonna say that I, am terrible all the time or
Right.
whatever, but I'm not gonna take that credit. I'm gonna say, God worked in me and he changed me and gave me the wisdom to make that decision. And so I think it's just kind of the same way with stories as well, with what you're saying, where it's like, make the point, but also, kind of humanize yourself. And I think it's different than like what it was, 20 years ago. I mean, when I was growing up ch in church 20 years ago, the preacher wore coat and tie every single Sunday, and it almost felt like everybody had to look at the preacher like, this guy is high and above the rest of us with how great and holy he is. And don't get me wrong, ministers are held to a higher standard. I do believe that. However, I don't want to get up there and just make everybody feel like, this person is unattainable to everybody else, and we should
Absolutely.
all be in awe of this person because it's not about me, it's about God.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's a good discussion, CJ. I appreciate getting into that a little
Yeah,
bit.
that was great.
I didn't think that a bench press would be showing up on a church stage anytime soon, but and that's the other part of it too, and we'll hit this really fast before we move on, is because of Perry Noble's past, I do think that some people kind of, have that what's the word I'm looking for? Notion or that preconceived notion that, oh, this guy, he was an alcoholic or, his something happened to his marriage, like, oh, he must not be a very good guy. And it's like, we've all fallen short. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that, like, if you have a struggle in your life, you should just get into ministry and fix everything. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But like,
Absolutely.
we can't just read an article, see a guy's name, and be like, oh, I know that guy struggled with alcoholism, so I'm not going to listen to him. Like,
Right.
we have to be a little more forgiving than that. So, at least in my mind.
Absolutely.
So,
Yep.
it's a tough way to discern and have wisdom, though. So, all right, CJ, our next thing that we're going to talk about is an American Idol contestant who performed her own original song about God titled Make Your Ways My Way, or Make Your Ways My Ways. And I don't know if you saw the clip of it, CJ, but I mean, just absolutely beautiful voice and a beautiful song, kind of brought a tear to my eye. I've noticed I'm a softie now. I've had two children. I'm a soft. I cry at like
Having
everything.
kids will do that to you, man.
Right? I mean, just the other day I saw like Lottie running and I was like, oh, tear to my eye. I was like,
Right?
who am I? What
Yep.
has happened? But anyway, so this Christian singer-songwriter, her name is Jennifer Jeffries, and she performed on March 3rd for American Idol, and the judges loved her. They just talked about how unique she was, how unique her voice was, and she kind of told her story about how, she's got her Bible on her desk, and she reads it every day, and how impactful her scripture reading has been for her songwriting. And I just when I see, and like I said, she's only 17 years old. This isn't like a, 20-some or 30-some year old woman doing this. Like this is still a teenager. So just an absolutely very impressive. I encourage anybody to go look her up. And if anybody is unaware, Katy Perry is still a judge for American Idol, and even she was praising her, which if you know anything about Katy Perry's past, she was at one point in singing for churches and things like that. So that's obviously an interesting dynamic there. But I mean, everybody was praising her. They all gave her a yes to move on. It was just a really, really cool moment for her, and I think for Christians to kind of see that representation on stage and see a young Christian, willing to live out their faith and be bold and to, not just sing some song and say, well, I'm also a Christian, but to sing their own song that they wrote about God. CJ, what was your just reaction to this this young lady, her original song. What were your thoughts?
Well, I didn't see the clip, but I did read the article that you sent, and there was, let me pull it up here. I love the, she did an interview and she said, I started writing this song back in August, took a couple breaks. In the song, I sing about the misconception I had of God and Christianity, only being loved by God while in the church, being a flaw in God's design, and being damned to hell for all my wrongdoings. I've never been more glad to be so wrong. God's love isn't paper thin. It's not confined to stay between four walls. We feel we have no worth, but God thought we were worth dying for. As Christians, no sin can keep us out of heaven, and no sin can keep us from the love and forgiveness of God who's omnipresent. This is the part I love. We shouldn't use grace as an excuse for sin, but we shouldn't use sin as an excuse not to forgive. And I just loved that. Like, we shouldn't use grace as an excuse to sin. And there's no sin that can ever separate us from God. Like God said, we're worthy, and we are. That's what we are. We're loved. We're worthy. And so often we look at ourselves and we just tear ourselves down. But the truth is that God said, hey, I chose you. I want you. You are so worthy. Like, stop degrading yourself. And at the same time, like, we can't use sin as an excuse not to forgive. And I think we also struggle with that. Like, we look at other people, we're like, ah, dude, you went too far. And there has to be a balance there. Like,
right.
Protect yourself, you know, make sure that you are in healthy relationships, make sure that you are taking care of yourself. But at the same time, don't go so far that you're like, dude, I'm done with you. There's no way you can ever come to God. I think that's a dangerous place. And our cultures goes there so easily.
Well, there's a difference between protecting yourself and having selfish ambitions of who you allow into your life, right? I mean,
yes.
I don't want people to think, oh, I've forgiven this person who has wronged me so many times, so I'm just going to open up my entire life to them to continue to wrong me, but I've forgiven them, so I will forget. It's like, well, yes, we can forgive, but that doesn't mean you continue to allow them to
absolutely,
you know, hurt you and be against you and to, you know, those kind of things. So I absolutely do think that's an important distinction. I'm glad you made it there.
You can, yeah, you can forgive and still have boundaries. Boundaries are so, so important.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, getting back to American Idol a little bit, it's kind of crazy how prominent, you know, worship, you know, or Christian artists and kind of some worship artists and things like that have been on American Idol lately. Mm-hmm. At the end, it notes that Megan Daniel, she was the runner up last year. And in that same season, I think it was, yeah, in that same season, Warren, I don't know how to say his last name, P-E, whatever. He was a worship leader at a Baptist, or no, Colson Branch Church in South Carolina, and he almost made the top five. So, you know, it's interesting to see how that's happening. I'm sure those people probably, you know, encouraged, whether they meant to or not, they probably did encourage this Jennifer girl to, you know, to sing and kind of, you know, display her faith as well, which is really, really cool to see. CJ, you obviously work with youth quite a bit, students, you know, middle school, high school, stuff like that. I mean, can you just give us a minute to talk about just like how important it is that we embrace young people, you know, teenagers, people like that, to just really empower them to share their faith and their gifts and their talents, their abilities, all those things for God? I mean, can you just talk about that for a second, how important that is?
Well, I could talk about this for like an hour, but I'll try to make sure I keep it nice and short. Man, my kingdom work is happening among students all the time. Kingdom work is something I talk about a lot. It's using your gifts, talents, abilities to further God's kingdom. I think God gave every single person on this earth spiritual gifts. And I think oftentimes the church limits spiritual gifts too much. And I think that we limit them to churchy gifts that seem more godly than others. But I think that if we really look at the whole of what Paul speaks about when he lists spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, It's not a complete list. It's just saying, listen, God gifted you, so go do it and go do it well. And along the way of you doing what you do well, you're going to come into contact with other people that do that same thing well. And so, and then you just show them the love of Jesus. And I think it's a beautiful thing when we can empower people that have different gifts than we do those gifts well. When we can empower them, man, the church of God just takes off. And so, you empower people in music, and you empower people in sports, and you empower people in arts, and you empower people in electronics and video games and podcasting and YouTubing. And I mean, I am not a podcaster or a YouTuber, but John, I know that you have a following. And if we said, dude, podcasts aren't spiritual gifts, you're impacting people with your podcasts, and so I think oftentimes as adults we look at kids and we're like, nah, that's kid stuff, that's not churchy, that's not a spiritual gift. And I think God's sitting up there going, no, like I gifted him so that he could impact this person. I gifted her so that she could be in relationship and have influence over this person. Man, I think we got to empower kids to do what they do and do it well, and love people with the love of Christ, even if it's stuff that we don't understand as adults and we're like, I don't get that. They're having an influence over people that we will never reach. I think it's so vital. So, all right, I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, you're good, man. I appreciate hearing you talking about that, because it is so vitally important that we empower and encourage these teenagers and even young kids as well, man. We were at Superstart this weekend, and I mean, there were like fourth graders on the videos up there talking about how, like, I mean, there's this girl, she's literally making bouquets of flowers and selling them so that kids in her community who are in foster care have a mattress to sleep on. Like, I would have never, put those thoughts together, but this girl saw a need. She saw something she's talented in, and she went for it. And she said,
Yeah,
I'm going,
absolutely.
like, and if anybody ever came to me with, like, hey, we need a flower ministry at the church so that way we can buy mattresses for foster kids, I'd be like, well, how does that work? Like, that would kind of, I wouldn't say no to it, but I'd kind of like, well, how does that work? But lo and behold, this girl, through the support of her church and through the support of her family, obviously, she has almost like created this flower bouquet empire, I guess you would
Yeah.
call it, for ministry. And it's like, if you just empower these kids' gifts and allow God to move in their hearts, they're gonna find things that they care about and that they want to impact, and they're gonna do what they can to make those things happen. And sometimes I think, we think, oh, well, it has to be, the biggest thing in the world. But I mean, then they after that they played a video about a kid who just like started writing Bible verses on his baseball hats, and he had kids on his team asking, like, hey, what's that Bible verse say? And then eventually he's got the entire team with him on Sunday mornings at church with him. And it's like, it's all this kid was doing was just writing Bible verses on his baseball hats. And now the entire baseball team is with him at church. It's like, and it could be something as small as just like a conversation about, I put Bible verses on my hats because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And that's kingdom work as well. So, to me, it's something we need to empower, like you said, and something we need to make sure that we're helping kids do as much as possible, because it is so huge, not only for our society, culture, helping other people, but for them and furthering their faith as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love
All
it,
right,
man.
CJ, let's move on to our next one here. Appreciate that conversation. That was excellent. Love talking about young people and what they can do in our society and things like that. So this one's not going to be as fun to talk about. We talked about two, I would say two more fun subjects. This one's not as fun, but I did feel like it needed to be discussed. This one might venture on some side of politics, depending on which way you take it. I know Liberty kind of took it that way a little bit. We're not going to discuss that too much. I mean, we might get into it a little bit, but it's not going to be the focus here, is what I'll say. So essentially, if you didn't hear, Liberty this week, Liberty University, they were fined $14 million for federal crime reporting violences. So essentially what's going on here is over 2016 to 2021, there have been reports of, you know, sexual assault, abuse, rape charges, things like that going on at Liberty that were underreported. And so according to the Clergy Act by federal law, they were fined $14 million for this. One of the reasons why this is making so much news is because the highest other fining for this Clery Act was $4.5 million to Michigan State University. So there's some thoughts here that, you know, wow, you know, is the federal government going after Liberty University more because they're a large Christian university institution, those kind of things, which I learned as I was doing this. Liberty is no longer the largest Christian university in America. It's actually Grand Canyon University. I only know that.
Wow.
Pay attention to college basketball, and they've been doing this recently. So I know them because of that. But I was reading that. I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. But I mean, they're still very large. I think they're still top two, top three in America. So still very large. But, you know, CJ, this is obviously Liberty. They put out their statement saying, like, this is not as bad as they say it is. We're being targeted because of our Christian institution, those kind of things. There's obviously a lot of drama here, but I'll just start here. You know, as somebody, and not that we are telling parents what they should do with their kids or anything like that, but, you know, do you feel like this should give Christians some concern about sending their kids to a Christian university like a Liberty, maybe not Liberty in particular, but like a Liberty, who has received a fine this big for acts of unreported issues like sexual abuse and violence and things like that?
I think the bigger deal for me is I think it's concerning that they got fined and that they're underreporting. And so as a dad who was going to send my daughter off to college in the next 6 to 8 years, I'll be looking at safety. And if she decides to go to college or wherever she decides to go, whatever she decides to step into, I'll be looking at, you know, how safe is this place? And so as a parent, I'll be exploring that. And if I see violations, my next question is, how did they respond to that? And if the response is, this isn't as bad as they say, that's immediately a red flag for me as a father. I'm going to be saying, dude, the best thing you can do if you're, you know, is just say, hey, we're making it right. And so they already swept it under the rug. And now it feels like from a parent perspective, they're trying to sweep it under the rug again. But that's not just for Christian institutions. That's for colleges, high school athletics, high school clubs. You know, anything that my kids are in, you know, my wife and I have no qualms going up to the leader of new organizations that we're stepping into. We did this with 4-H. We did this with Upward Soccer, which, you know, we're big proponents of both of those. One of the first things we did when we stepped into those organizations is we went right to the top and we said, what are your sexual abuse prevention policies? You know, and sometimes we get like a stare in the headlights, like, oh my goodness, like you're going straight for that. And we're like, yeah, we're going straight for that. That's right. I think that's the bigger thing for me as parents is, you know, having the courage to go straight to the top and stand up for your kids and say, all right, where do you guys land in this? And then gauging the reaction, just not on Christian institutions, but across the board on things our kids are involved in. That's where I would head as far as concern sending my kids places.
Yeah, a lot of wisdom there. Appreciate that answer. I think sometimes, we look at Christian institutions and say, oh, well, they should have this higher standard. And they should because they're living by a higher standard. But you're exactly right.
You would
We're not
hope,
gonna,
yeah.
yeah, you would hope. I would look at Michigan State the same way, considering they had, fines and violations and things like that on their campus as well. I will point out, because I forgot to mention this, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing Liberty University here. However, they did spend $2 million on improving campus safety over the course of the next 2 years. They have pledged to do that, so it's not like they're saying this never happened and they're not doing anything about it. But like you said, that's important information to know. It's like, okay, you got this fine. What are you doing now to make sure stuff like that does not happen again? I think it's wise to not just, throw your kids into, whatever it might be, but ask questions, be there, and to have the courage and have the boldness to be able to say, look, we want our kids to be involved in things, but we're not going to have them involved in things unless we trust that they are safe and that they are being taken care of, because we want our kids to obviously be safe and be taken care of. So, and obviously this is something that we bring up because it is a Christian university. And CJ, I know you went to Cincinnati Christian University. I myself
I
went to
did.
Kentucky Christian University. I never experienced anything like this when I was there. I was an RA, and I do recall times where it was kind of like, maybe some RAs would think, well, do we really report this person? And it's never for anything this serious, but do we ever, do we really report this person because of, what they're doing, or do we kind of let them off and tell them, we remind them, like, just don't do it again, stuff like that. And I remember my RA, my men's RA, who was kind of ahead of us all, he was like, don't do that. He was like, you might not make a whole lot of friends being an RA. He was like, but you're actually doing a disservice for them and for the rest of the campus when you say, well, they're my buddy and I'm just gonna kind of let them off and not, worry about it. And so there is a really good aspect of Christian University that is forgiving and wants to care for their people and things like that. But there's also the aspect of, sometimes we can be a little too forgiving and see by things a little bit too much. And so it's interesting. Did you weren't an RA when you were at Cincinnati, were you,
Yeah,
CJ?
I
Oh, you
was.
were. Okay. Yeah. What was your experience like when you were an RA there?
There were some RAs that were more forgiving than others. I think it was just so important that everything was reported, and I didn't necessarily have the same conversations with my RD that where he was like, you got to report everything. But coming through ministry now, I see that, man, as an RA and as a youth minister, like if you report everything, that one small piece that doesn't seem to be a big deal, maybe the piece of the puzzle that just blows everything wide open. As an RA, I tried to stick to, what was supposed to be, like we had a curfew, kids coming in late, sign the paper, you're late. Making sure that things are staying where they're supposed to be staying.
Right. And like I said, my experiences as an RA were never as deep as some of this stuff with the Liberty stuff. It, a lot of it was
I
like
never
the curfew
experienced.
and But I had friends, trust me, I had friends who, would come to me and say, hey, can you open the door for me at, 1 o'clock? And I'm like, well, curfew's at midnight. And it's like, oh, but it's just an hour. It's not that big of a
It's
deal.
just
It's like,
me.
yeah, it's
You're
like, oh,
like,
you know
no.
me. I'm not doing anything. And it's like, well, I do, but there's still rules. So
Exactly.
it didn't always make me the most popular guy, but somebody had to enforce the rules.
Yeah, that's right.
So CJ, obviously, there's a lot of talk about Christian universities here in America and kind of the future of them. I know the CCU, Cincinnati Christian University, they've obviously had their struggles. I think, are they shut down completely at least
They
at this
are
point?
done. They're shut down. They shut down a few years ago.
Lincoln University, I know they're struggling some with their ministry programs and things like that there. I don't know if they've shut those down yet or if that's still in discussions there. So obviously there's a lot of things going on with Christian universities if people don't pay attention to it closely in America right now. But we're kind of seeing a lot of universities make this shift to like what Grand Canyon University is and Liberty University, where Christian or Bible isn't so much in the name. They still have those beliefs, and there are still some more strict rules. Like Liberty does have pretty strict rules. If anybody has ever followed a Liberty student on TikTok, they talk about those sometimes. But what are your thoughts on just like the future of Christian universities here in America? Are they going to kind of go the same way as like Grand Canyon, Liberty, even the way Johnson is going? Or do you think the kind of older Kentucky Christian University, the Cincinnati Christian University, do you think that those can kind of thrive too? I'm curious your thoughts.
I'm not really sure. I've not followed it a whole lot. I know CCU shut down. I know Johnson is expanding their degree programs, but they had a campus in Florida that I think is no longer a campus there. And so I think Christian colleges being private institutions already had a difficult way of getting students. And I think with the church as a whole in America starting to shrink, that we're going to have less people deciding to go into ministry. And we've seen that the last 10 years. We've seen more ministers retiring than we have seen ministers coming up into the field. And so I think just cost wise, it's going to be difficult. And I think college in general is headed for a difficult place. There, we're seeing a whole lot more specialty jobs that are opening up, and so I think that's going to be difficult for colleges across the board.
Yeah, just last week we talked with Dan about how less and less places are putting the qualification of like a college degree on their resume, or not resumes, what's it called? The
Job
job description.
applications.
Yeah, and job applications. Yeah, so less and less places are doing that. So it's interesting to think that, college is not needed as much as maybe it was 20, 15, 20 years ago. But it's starting to swing that way, and it'll be interesting to see what happens and how that goes. So, all right, CJ, thank you so much for joining us. We're actually going to skip the other stuff today, the Bible verse and the what you eat and what you read and what you watch, and we're going to skip that today. CJ has to go pick up Clark from school. So we appreciate you spending your time with us today. CJ, you have any more thoughts or anything before you want to share before we get out of here?
I don't think so. Just do what you do and do it well, and love people with the love of Jesus as you do it. You have a sphere of influence, go use it.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Thanks, CJ. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate everybody
Hey, thanks,
watching
Sean.
and
You too.
listening out there. Have a good one.